if you are not even contemplating, even you may not even understand these problems, obstacles. But one thing is made very clear, during the practice of meditation, it is very natural for us to have a quietened mind, because it being endowed with that quietened mind is really a joy, a pleasure. In meditation, in contemplation, mind becomes quietened. Then you experience the pleasure, and that is very, you know, that really, that should not be mistaken for the fullness. Second thing, of course, the teaching was very clear that you are fullness. Your swarupam is fullness. And what you experience is only manifestation of fraction of fullness. This pleasure. But even manifestation of, really manifestation. What you experience is a manifestation of fullness. Which means, it's like seeing your face, reflected face in the mirror. When you see the reflection of your face, how do you take it? Do you think, oh, that face is very nice? Do you say that? You see, it's only a reflection. Oh, what is very nice is this. Not that. Isn't it? Because you see your face, oh, it looks nice. Oh, it doesn't look nice. I'm just saying, let us think that way. Let's say good things about ourselves, okay? Which means, then you think, oh my God, because you don't see your face here, you see only there. You don't need to go after it, because it is not permanent, isn't it? What is permanent is what? It's our fullness, what experienced quietness, calmness. Is what now? The manifestation of your swarupam. So, this understands, so don't get stuck there. Is it? Means don't mistake it. It is easy for any meditator to be engrossed in the enjoyment of pleasure and forgetting what now? Once you are like it, then you forget that your swarupam being is possible. That's why the people who have this problem, who have this obstacle in the practice of contemplation, are the people who are irritable, who get angry. Then people come and say, what is this man practicing meditation? He gets very angry and he gets irritated and he doesn't like any noise and he doesn't like people, doesn't want to talk to people, keeps aloof. What is this? He avoids even. Because people can't understand, simple, isn't it? So that is not really good. But also he remains. Okay, now let us see the verses. So what is the teaching on how, what is the teaching and how to dwell upon the teaching, etc. We'll see. Before that we'll see the problems now. Upayena nigrinniyad. Vikshiptam kama bhogayoho suprasannam laye chaiva yatha kamo layastatha. See, upayena nigrinniyat. Upayena, tactfully, carefully, no? By this, by means, upayena nigrinniyat. Nigrinniyat, may one solve this obstacle that obtains in contemplation. What is it he says? Vikshiptam, kama bhogayoho vikshiptam. See the second line. Suprasannam laye. Laye suprasannam. Laye suprasannam means what? Suprasannam manaha means the resolved mind. The mind which has become, no, which is in a condition of slumber. The inactive mind. Inactivity or inactive mind. The drowsy, dull, the mind has become inactive, isn't it? Or resolved. That is the laye suprasannam. Then, first you see, second is what now? First you see, vikshiptam, kamabhogayoho vikshiptam. Kamabhogaha means enjoyment of pleasure. It's called kamabhogaha. So, vikshipta. So, the mind which is distracted, drawn, disturbed by the desire or ragadveshas for the enjoyment of pleasures. So, kama bhogayoho vikshiptam. So, kamaha implies ragadveshas, bhoga means enjoyment of pleasures, isn't it? So, this desire for the ragadveshas, likes and dislikes, and also the enjoyment of pleasures, they all can distract and disturb. Disturbed by, Shastram does not say should not enjoy pleasure. How the enjoyment of pleasures and then the unresolved, unsettled, still the lingering ragadveshas, in you, all of them, cause what no distractions, disturbances. Means you are not able to focus. Agitations. So, kamabhogayoho vikshiptam, then laye suprasannam. Laye suprasannam. The mind has become inactive and dissolved. That mind. That's also what now? Twofold obstacles. Chaiva. He says, yatha kamaha layastatha. So just as the mental, the ragadveshas are also disturbance. Isn't it? Ragadveshas, natural, but they are there. So the unmanaged ragadveshas or the desire for the enjoyment of pleasures, still there is the attachment, and those things really cause disturbance. How this mind is very active all the time. I want to do that, I want to do this, I should go there, which means restless mind. Highly restless mind is the mind which entertains abundance of likes and dislikes. Lots and lots of likes and dislikes. Lots and lots of disease. Of course, I'm not saying having disease is wrong or improper. Now, too many diseases and too many distractions. Now, some people come, now I want to go do this, I want to do that, because both are good, you know. That is Swamiji, this is very, very embarrassing for all these people who teach Shastra. People are very, very good-minded, good-hearted. And then, exposed to the teach, if they really understand what is systematic teaching, if they already understand what is systematic teaching, if they really know what is needed is only systematic teaching, then they have discovered, see, understand first of all what is systematic teaching is necessary for my enhanced, my clear vision. And if they understand what the systematic teaching is, then they are with the teaching means, I tell you, they will not be distracted. They need not go anywhere else. They need not be disturbed. Because where is the time? How much will you be running around? I'm not saying. In spite of knowing, are not knowing, which means they are not convinced. Some sort of, because we are very insecure. Socially, we are very, very insecure. So I need that person. So because she is calling me, I had to go. I'm not really interested in that. Okay, I had to go. Because she is calling, I had to go. See, maintaining social relationship is completely different. But for that sake, hundreds of programs are happening in the city. I had to go for all hundreds of programs. Because they come and tell me also, they're not bad. Nobody is bad. Nowhere, it is not like going to a pub. There's no drinking, there's no smoking. There's also everything is good, things are happening around. So if it's very difficult, no? Then can I say, you don't go there, don't go there, don't go here. To come only to my class. I'm not saying that also. It is something which is definitely the people who listen to the teacher, they have to understand. Doesn't matter whether it is me or somebody else. What they need is systematic teaching. If they discover the systematic teaching, what is systematic understood means, and they should be with the teaching. It doesn't matter whether it is me or any other teacher. Be with the systematic teaching means, you are with the teaching means, it is utterly too much of running around. It only will make you tire, very, it will tire you a lot. So many programs. Suppose physics is taught in so many universities. Medicine is taught in so many universities. How many universities are going to go and get admission? Tell you. Because you love physics, you want to study physics. Oh, that professor is very good, This professor is very good, So one day I want to go to Imperial, one day I want to go to Oxford, one day I want to go to, because I know that professor, how can I go? If I don't go there, the professor will feel bad. Because I'm still somewhere in my, you be with, once you are somewhere means, even in East London University, if you are there, it's okay. We've got admission there, means you're with them. Isn't it? Once you are there, and that's all. And be with the teacher. You see that you enhance clarity here. You focus attention here. Improve. It's very difficult to, isn't it? Very difficult for a teacher to tell this. Because people mistake, this Swamini is very possessive. This Swamini is really, she wants to sort of organize her. She wants to hold people for her. A sannyasini, what should not do is, there's no possessiveness. Don't hold on to anybody. Because otherwise the teaching is like a waste of time. A teacher should really bless you with understanding. So when the teacher is physically not present, the teaching is available. You can go back to the same classes. There's so many recorded talks are available and repeatedly listen and see, understand and assimilate. And that is what is in teaching. Being with the systematic teaching means being focused. Isn't it? Not that so many people come and so many people go and then it's all 1 week and 15 days business. I'm not saying something is better than nothing, satsang is always good. I'm not saying no. Going in the fog in the feet of some sadhus and giving some dakshina, that's all, I'm not saying anything wrong. It's okay. But teaching means it is very important. Being with one is very, very important. Why? Because this also, even not only desire for movies and films and other things are not distracting. Even these things distract you. In the name of so-called religious practices, in the name of so-called spiritual teaching, even these are distractions. Because still there's a lingering value for everything in the mind. See, what is this? I have taken up one text. What does this text say? Have you understood everything here? Have you assimilated everything here? How much have I understood? What is the content of this teaching? The one textbook we completed. What have we understood? How much have we understood? What doubts I have? Clear. So you had to work that way. Which means the lots of distractions. One day garba, because one day that, one day something else, one day birthday party. There are so many things distract us, isn't it? See, mainly because we're all social beings, we're in the part of society, because it's insecurity, so insecurity, isn't it? See, somewhere, growing up, young people is okay. You have to be friendly with the whole jagat. Of course, we should think of anybody's life as significant as your life, no doubt about it. But focus must be what? Definitely in study, isn't it? Somewhere that you have to think and make up your mind. Otherwise, it is very very embarrassing and very difficult for somebody else. Nobody come and tell you also openly. Because everybody will think, why should I tell? Why should I take care? Let them know. Because otherwise I'll be misunderstood. I'm telling you openly. Tell us also. So what I'm saying, this is all vikshepa. Because you know how much you're running around. You know how much you are disturbed and distracted. However, it's the question of sitting, you know, quietly dwelling upon the teaching. This way, vikshepaha kama bhogayoho. Even that's also for some pleasure, some enjoyment or some pleasure, and the raga dveshas. An attachment to things which will be still you're dependent on other things for your security and happiness. That is the reason there is distraction, disturbances. Isn't it? Therefore, kama bhogayoho vikshiptam, then laye suprasannam. Here too, the most highly active, disturbed, restless, agitated mind also is a problem. And the dullest mind is also what now? We say the most dull, the drowsy, the mind, the inactive, passive mind also a problem. Two obstacles. Isn't it? Sleep, passive mind, active mind, both are problems. So these problems have to be tackled here somehow. Upayena. See, not only sleep, also active mind also is what? No, not only passive mind. Layaha tatha, yatha kamaha. Kamaha means desire, or ragadvesha. Just as desire, the restlessness, the active mind. And layaha is passive mind. Kamaha stands for active mind. Layaha stands for passive mind. Both are what? Equally a problem, an obstacle for contemplation. Obstacle in contemplation. Okay. Now, that 43rd verse, Karika, it is a solution for sorting out this problem, obstacle in contemplation. Dukkham sarvamanusmrit. Dukkham sarvamanusmritya.
Dukkham sarvamanusmritya.
Kama bhogani vartayet.
Kama bhogani vartayet.
Ajam sarvamanusmritya.
Ajam sarvamanusmritya.
Jatam naiva tu pasyati.
Jatam naiva tu pasyati.
Okay. See, the 42nd verse, he presents the twofold obstacles we have in contemplation in terms of passive mind called sleep and active mind called distractions and agitations. But he does not give you how to tackle this problem of sleep we happen to have in contemplation. Doesn't say that. So I told already, and then that whatever we said, but we get how to solve this problem of sleep that we happen to have during the contemplation is actually that commentators, they present the solution. I told you already that we have to have the only way not to fall asleep in meditation is to take care of one's sleep. In terms, one should have adequate sleep. which means we should develop this hard discipline of going to bed early and waking up early, or having enough number of hours of sleep. If you happen to go to bed early, late also, you see that you have enough, adequate number of hours of sleep. Then, and also, not only the sleep, even if you sleep well also, sometimes still you feel sleepy because of overeating habits. Or the food which doesn't agree with your system when you eat also, the indigestion, etc., which is caused also, because causes the sleep. Therefore, see that maintaining, and also sometimes many ways of keeping oneself, alert to avoid the sleep. Those days, I remember, whenever you exam time only, we feel very sleepy. Before exam time, okay, we'll sit and watch anything for a very long time. Exam time, you feel very sleepy, but the day before examination, we had to go to bed early, sleep well, go to the class fresh, which means you must be studying the whole year. That would be easy. Not just before the examination, we do keep awake and sleep, and the next day we go, and a lot of disturbances. Like that, every day make it a habit to, have every day one should focus, make an effort to have enough, really good sleep is one thing. Second thing, the class also we feel very sleepy and dull. It happens. It's all because of not having enough sleep. Otherwise, we are physically sick. Okay, taken some paracetamol or some medicine. Because of all that also we may feel sick. That when you sit for contemplation, don't take any painkillers. If you have pain, you cannot contemplate. And having painkillers, you sit for meditation, what will happen? Naturally, you will feel that meditation will really, it's like having one more quilt on you. Isn't it? Will help you to fall asleep. So that's why those things are important. So keeping one's mind fresh, the sleep is important. Take other food habits, etc. Also suggested by other commentator, not by Gaudapada Acharya. He thinks we are all intelligent enough to tackle the problem of sleep. But he mentions the sleep. He doesn't talk about it. Okay, then, but what the next problem is vikshepaha, isn't it? See, there are lots of people who are very sharp, come to the class, understand everything in the class, the whole teaching is very clear, but once you leave the class and again don't think of the class teaching. Why? Mind is not available. Still, you do not genuinely see how valuable the teaching is, Upanishadic teaching is. How valuable it is, how important it is to dwell upon the facts you understand, in all these things. It's not very, very clear. One of the reasons. Anyway, so vikshiptam, how to manage this vikshiptam, that is said in the 43rd verse. Look at this. He gives two, in Krishna 6th chapter says, Abhya Vairagyena Abhyasena. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena chagrihyate. Isn't it? So, vairagyam is first upaya. Second upaya, vairagyam is the first upaya. Second upaya is what? Abhyasaha. What is vairagyam? That is said in the first line. First line talks about vairagyam. Second line talks about the Abhyasaha. See, learn, really becoming dispassionate, being dispassionate is the only way you can, you can manage your, free yourself from the disturbing ragadveshas. The mental agitation, restlessness in terms of ragadveshas, attachment, etc., can be managed only by developing dispassion. And how can you have dispassion? Dispassion will help you to become detached. To become free from attachment. Thereby you can avoid mental disturbances. But how to have dispassion, that is, he is saying, anusmritya. Anusmarana means what? Smarana means think, remembering. Anusmarana means constantly remembering, continuously remembering. Continuously anusmaranam, anu, repeatedly remembering. Repeatedly remembering is anusmaranam. So what should you remember? He says, sarvam dukkham anusmritya. Sarvam dukkham anusmritya. All the sorrow, the pain, this, no, that is, you remember the pain. What? How do you remember? How do you understand? See, any object in the world, people in the world, relationships in the world, you know, enjoyment of pleasures in the world, everything, really, everything is temporary. Everything is impermanent. Therefore, and then anything. Everything will lead you finally what now? And when the separation will result in sorrow only. Pain only. Any enjoyment, when anything which you enjoy, you are deprived of the enjoyment of that, it really gives you only pain. So, sarvam dukkham. Dukkham is something very, even the pleasure, you have to enjoy, earn the pleasure, you have to work hard. It involves pain. And to maintain the sukham, you have to, there's a pain. And in losing pain, losing pleasure, greater pain. Acquisition of pleasure, you know, attainment of pleasure, there is pain. In attaining pleasure, there is pain in preserving, maintaining the pleasure. And in losing, also what now? There is pain. Swami used to say, arjane dukkham, rakshane dukkham, then nashe dukkha taram. It's greater pain. It can be anything. It can be artha, it can be kama. Artha, kama reduce everything. Way too easy is to remember, isn't it? We need artha to live this life, but we need kama and enjoyment of pleasures to live this life. But you have to remember one fact. Now, if you pursue artha and kama for living this life in conformity with dharma, you are safe. Which means you are not living this life for artha kama. You need artha kama for living the life, but you are not living this life for artha kama. You will remember, I'm living this life for moksha, the discovering the fullness, which is my swarupam, which is already there. In terms of discovery of the truth as myself, and then you will not be dependent on artha kama for your pleasure and security, for happiness and security. Then you are not dependent on them, means you are not attached to them. Because definitely artha kamas will not give you happiness. The arthakamas will not give you happiness means, I'm not saying arthakamas are useless. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying one should not pursue artha. We should pursue artha, we should pursue kama, enjoy pleasures. But for living this life, but we should remember that we should not be dependent on our pursuit of arthakama for security and happiness. Because we have to understand the limitation of arthakamas. Arthakamas will not give me what I am seeking in life. Absolute, everlasting peace and happiness is my swarupam. Arthakamas, which I work hard to attain, will not give me that. Understand? See, happiness is your swarupam, means you are happiness, you are fullness, you are absolute peace, which you already are. You don't need to attain yourself. You need to attain yourself only in terms of knowledge. You cannot attain. And then you are going and searching for yourself in something which is not you. No, when you are dependent on arthakamas, the positions and positions and objects and pleasurable pleasures for happiness for yourself. You are dependent on things which are not yourself for yourself. Which is what a vain effort, isn't it? That is why so much of pain. Misplaced trust. Isn't it? And then such a vain effort. And later on, big disappointment. And a great pain. It can totally, isn't it? Such a great pain. Such a suffering. Sorrow. Why? Misplaced trust. The fact is, what is the fact? If ever, isn't it? This is what? Dukkha anusmaranam. Nothing in the world can really give me what I am ultimately, choicelessly, helplessly seeking. This is everything, huh? This is dukkha anusmaranam. Everything is fraught with what? Sorrow. Pain. It's only dukkham. Therefore, dukkham anusmritya. In attaining, in gaining, in earning, I go through pain. In preserving, in maintaining, I suffer pain. In losing, I have greater pain. This is a fact. Okay, remembering this fact is what? Dukkha anusmaranam. You're not repeatedly thinking of the sorrow. You're thinking of everything else other than yourself being the source of, isn't it? Attainment or loss, gaining or losing of anything involves pain. Dukkham sarvam anusmritya. Kama bhogati nivartayet. Once you keep on reminding yourself of this fact of everything, the limitations of everything, that everything in fact will finally, at last will leave you with what? Sorrow alone. You remember the fact. Should we remember this fact at all? Yes, it is a fact. You had to remind yourself of the fact. Then, slowly you will grow out of what now? Desires. Not a disease. You slowly grow. Slowly you will become free from dependence. In a sense, attachment. Kama bhogat nivartayet. Nivartayet. Kama bhogat nivartayet. May one become free from what? Slowly one can grow out of passion, isn't it? One can become solely dispassion. One can discover dispassion. This dispassion is called what? Vairagyam. So if vairagyam is there, the problem, the obstacle in contemplation can be tackled. Mind has to sit, no? All the time running, has to sit. Then next, for which? Ajam sarvam anusmritya. Next is ajam sarvam anusmritya. Sarvam ajam. Ajam means birthless, unborn. Which implies what? Brahma. Only one vastu which is ajam. Everything that is here is what? Everything experienced is nama rupa. Name and form. Which has birth and death. No? Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Everything is subject to all these things. But only one thing which has no beginning, no end, no change, no time, is what? No, that is Ajam is Brahma. So Ajam is equal to Brahma or Atma, you can say. Sarvam Ajam Anusmritya. There is only one truth. The truth is only the awareness Atmadi Brahman. Everything else other than Atma Brahman is what? Mithya. Anatma, Anatma Prapancha, Atmadi Consciousness, Brahman is Satyam. Everything else, the entire objective universe is Mithya. And Mithya is non-countable, it is as good as non-existent, it is not there. In fact, there is no Mithya Prapanchaha. First you say, Anatma Prapanchaha is Mithya. Therefore, afterwards you said what? Where is the Anatma at all? Okay, first you say what now? There is only water, there is no ocean. Ocean is just the Nama Rupa. Mithya, it is not Mithya. Just the name and form, because there is no independent existence. Name and form have no independent existence without the water. The word is Mithya. Then later on you will say what? Where is the ocean? Where is the name? Where is the form other than water? There is only water. Is it clear now? There is no ocean. There is no form. There is no name. There is only water. Like that, Brahman alone is Satyam. Entire Anatma Prapancha is Mithya. And Anatma Prapancha is only appearance, only Nama Rupa. Therefore, there is no Anatma Prapanchaha, only Atma. Advaita vision. And how can he do this without having done the Shravanam? This what is contemplation? When you are thinking this itself, what no? The mind can have the problems. Again, only by this called Brahmabhyasaha. Okay, Brahmabhyasa means dwelling upon the Swarupam of Brahman being the only secondless non-dual reality. You can dwell upon as what? No, this called what? No, Ajam Sarvam Anusmritya. Sarvam Brahma Iti Sada Anusmritya. All that is here is only Brahma. What about Jagat Mithya? There is no Mithya Prapancha. First you say Mithya, then there is no Mithya. There is no Namarupa. There is no Anatma. There is only Atma. This fact. So when you say everything, only Atma is there. Ajam means Brahma, Atma. Jatam Naiva Pashyati. First you see the water. This water alone is there means, where is the ocean? Then you don't see the ocean. There is no ocean. So seeing the truth, thereby resolving everything else in the truth and seeing only the truth, not seeing anything else, is what? No? Anud. Is called Sarvam Brahma Anudarshanam, Anusmaranam. This is a fact. This is a fact. Whatever you see is like what? Definitely, it is as good as anything that I experience is only dream. What is Satyam is only, there is nothing outside of me. The dream world, the dream enjoyments, dream pleasures, dream pains, nothing. When you on waking up from sleep, how you see? Atmanam eva advayam pashyati. Isn't it? You see yourself, everything is nothing but you, the waker. The dream experience is what? Yourself. Is anything? The whole dream is you. Similarly here, the waking also is also what? Atma you. It is only Brahma. Sarvam Brahma Anusmritya. You know, Jatam Naivatu Pashyati. Jatam means what? The world, Jatam here is universe. Anatma Prapancha one does not see. Does not see means what? Physically you perceive, but cognitively there's no. Physically you see the ocean, but cognitively there's no ocean, only water. Cognitively, isn't it? So cognitive appreciation of Atma alone is appreciation of Atma alone being there, Jagat being not there, is also what? Brahmabhyasaha. So this abhyasa and vairagya should go hand in hand. I vairagya must be there, abhyasa. Understand now, it's very important, in Krishna says in 6th chapter, remember that line, now, vai abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagena cha grihyate. See, most of the times, even sleep also not a very big problem, you can take care of it in my contemplation. See, we are not able to be focused. That is the big problem. We are restless. I'm not saying about one person or generalizing it. It's general, common problem, isn't it? We are all naturally, helplessly, we are very, very distracted and disturbed, agitated. And the reason is our own ragadvija, our own attachment, our own lingering, still value for lots of things. It's like what Swamiji says, suppose the child is playing happy with other children, playing, you know, on the ground. In Indian children, imagine, here don't people know. Happily playing outside in the ground. There's another mother remembers, no? Oh, tomorrow is a test, has to come back and do the homework. He is playing now and come back in the evening and he'll fall asleep, won't go to the homework. So mother is worried. So she happily playing, totally forgot about the school and have homework and mother and food and milk, everything the child forgets. Because you are worried, didn't come home, hasn't had a shower, has yet to eat and drink and do a homework and fall. You have your list of things what the child should do. The child forgets all everything and is happily playing with the friends on the ground. No? And you have to help because it's already late. You have to go and grab. So the mother goes and grabs the child. Come. And the child refuses to come. Somehow, and then manages to, you know, bring. Suppose Indian mother means we'll give also to. Here you may not hit it, okay? Sometimes when they'll say nicely, they'll call with all fondling and then backstroke, you know, stroking the back and hugging and cuddling. The child will keep on calling, come, 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 come. When the child refuses, then finally. Child will get two means what? You understand that? To smack in the head, you know, then he'll come. The child comes and somehow manages to, and the child cries and gives the chocolates and something the child mother gives what the child likes. Some food, always food only, okay? Some just gets a chocolate or some toy, something the child likes, and makes him do the homework. Even though the child is doing the homework, mind is not 100% here. Because what now? It's not forcefully brought here. Mind is still where? Because still there's called lingering, is it? The desire is there. Because not the child has come. Is it? Therefore, what am I saying? Such things are caused. That's what? Unresolved, isn't it? Those things, only because still there is a value for the external world of objects. Still there is, which means there is value, means what? Still you are dependent on the everything for your security and happiness. Therefore, naturally, mind, that's where distraction comes. If that is very clear, the distraction is not possible. That is why first thing what you should do, Dukkha Anusmaranam. Remembering that definitely, you know, everything, association with anything finally will result in sorrow only. That does not mean you should dissociate yourself and physically keep yourself away. So understanding, cognitive change, understanding the limitations of everything, not being dependent on them for your happiness and security is what? Dukkha Anusmarana. And then what is Abhyasaha? Abhyasa is dwelling upon the fact of what? Atma, the Brahman, being the only reality, and the Anatma Prapanchaha, the Mithya Anatma Prapanchaha, is really not there. There's only Brahma. This now is called what now? Dwelling upon this fact is Brahma Abhyasa. These two discipline, the two things will help you to manage this problem of vikshepaha. And this Brahma Abhyasaha, you can say this is contemplation. What is again? You can dwell upon the consciousness being your own Swarupam. Jiva Swarupam in consciousness, isn't it? You can dwell upon that. There's also contemplation. Or you can dwell upon the existence being the Swarupam of the whole. So it can be contemplation upon Chit or Sat. The existence of existence alone is Satyam. The existence is nothing but awareness. Is what now? Brahma Swarupa, Jagat Swarupa, Anusandhanam. You can see the truth as this Chit. You can see the truth of the whole as the existence also. Dwelling upon existence being the truth of the Jagat. And that existence being the consciousness. Then one more thing you can say. You can even meditate upon Anatma. Any object also. How can meditation upon Anatma becomes contemplation? You can ask. Meditating upon the Anatma becomes contemplation if you can see that Anatma being Mithya. Okay? So seeing the Anatma being Mithya in contemplation is also what? Contemplation. So seeing the Satyatvam of the Atma, Mithyatvam of the Jagat, anything, any object you can take and meditate, contemplate upon. Everything you take, eating ice cream, meditate upon the ice cream. How can meditation upon ice cream become a contemplation? After all, ice cream is object. It's object of your pleasure. Some people may not like it. I'm saying whoever it thinks it's the object of pleasure, okay? You have to see how ice cream is mithya. And later on how the pleasure, the taste is mithya. How the pleasure you have in tasting ice cream is also mithya. While eating you will forget, come on, we'll wait it upon afterwards, not while eating. You must think that way. Not taking over. You eat it, enjoy it, definitely. But I tell you, what you have to see, seeing the mithyatvam of everything you enjoy. You like, you enjoy. Any object, no? Seeing it also what? Contemplation. How existence alone is Satyam. Pure existence alone is Satyam. Everything that is experienced by existence of anything means, isn't it? Every Namarupa is what only? Mithya. Similarly, this Chaitan Chit alone is Satyam. I am the Chit. Chit alone is Satyam and everything else is Mithya. And Mithya you say, later on you have to say there is no Mithya also. There is only Satyam. This is called what? Ajam Sarvam Anusmritya Na Jatam Naivatu Pashyati. This is called Brahmabhyasa. We'll see more next class. Okay? Brahmabhyasa. Or you can say what now? So, Jnana Abhyasa. It's called Jnana Abhyasa. Or Brahma Abhyasa. And this, it must be go hand in hand, simultaneous, isn't it? Then this only way you can slow, calm your mind down. You can manage. You can slowly become, see, becoming free from attachment gradually is becoming, you know, the more you understand and the more you become dispassionate, more mature you are, there is no hatred. There is no running away. Physically running away is not detachment. It's all understanding. It won't come overnight. Understand? Vikshepa. So the rest of the things we'll see next class.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harih Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harih Om.